Morning, my name's Richard, and it's lovely to be here again, I think, for my fourth visit this morning. We're going to look at an encounter of Jesus, and if I'm looking nervous, we just had a Microsoft update in the middle of the first service, so we didn't have all the pictures. So we're here to look at a passage in Jesus' life. And I'm going to share some things about LAM. Acronyms aren't always very helpful. So here we are, Lutheran Aid to Medicine in Bangladesh. A place where God's love is shown by good medical care, but in particular for poor people who can't normally afford to pay. And I'd like to start by thanking you here at St. Stephen's for your support for LAM over now several years. Thank you for taking an interest. Thank you for inviting me to come and share some things with you. And thank you for prayers and for giving. The money particularly goes for the poor fund, which subsidizes healthcare. And also the Cool Christians have raised money from time to time for work with children with disability. And so thank you too for your mission committee. Thank you to Sue. She's not here now, but it's been lovely to have contact with you and to know the interest and have Sue's encouragement along the way. People in Bangladesh are encountering Jesus, and as we look at this passage, what about that? You see, LAM is, okay, it's doing medical work, but actually it's much more about people being followers of Jesus and living for him there. And amongst those people is someone known to some of you here, Louise Day, who I think was in Sunday school here some time ago. And Louise is a doctor, and as well as doing pediatrics, is good at particularly helping LAM doing research into incidents of things that make life difficult for people in a developing country. So as I came to think, well, what are we going to be able to talk about today? I said, well, let's look in the lectionary first, and thank God it's come up with a very pertinent passage, which is much easier than having to try and choose one yourself. Before I start, well, let's say a prayer. Lord, we're reading about you and what you did 2,000 years ago. But as we read now, help us to think about our lives and what you might be doing in our lives and in the lives of people in Bangladesh. So may we may hear you speak to us this morning. Amen. I'm going to concentrate on the last two verses of the passage, but this is interesting just context. I've got no idea how easy it was life out in public in a land like Palestine in Jesus' time that was occupied. The nearest I've ever been to a sort of an occupied place, we were recently in Kashmir, where there are still a lot of military people on the streets. But, of course, living life in public is really such a big part of who Jesus was then. And he was someone who attracted people. And he had followers, and we read at the beginning how they went out themselves and were working really hard and actually getting exhausted in giving practical help and the things that they were doing, and there wasn't a lot of escape for them because of the need. And Jesus always had a heart so full of compassion for the people that was making himself available to them. Now let's just look at the last couple of verses. Here we are then. The people ran throughout the whole region, carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard Jesus was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. And we don't know any more. The passage stops. You look at the next chapter, it's like something completely different. When we think about marketplace, of course, we might well think of going into Tesco's or Sainsbury's or whatever, Little and Aldi and all that sort of thing. It wasn't quite like that in time of Palestine, and it isn't either in Bangladesh. But a marketplace is, you know, it's public, where life is going on, it's often busy, often chaotic, and in this case, Could you imagine what it was like where people were turning up, carrying people on mats, bringing them along to meet Jesus? They were coming and they were having an amazing experience. And those were able to touch him and they were being healed. They were having an amazing experience of God's grace. And then, unlike one of the lepers who came back to thank Jesus, we don't hear any more about these people. Did they just think, I'm better now, I carry my on with life as it was before? Or did they become followers of Jesus? We really don't know. Now, I have to admit that I don't know very much about healing. I've had friends who've had cancer, and they had treatment, and we prayed a lot, and they're in remission. I had another friend who, before he was 60, went for a heart bypass, and he died not long after. So my personal experience of understanding a passage like this is quite limited. At Lamb, I've certainly heard of people making what were genuinely unexpected recoveries. I've never heard anyone say they were miracles, but you know, just recently there were three women in hospital, and they each were really puzzling the doctors to know what it was that was wrong with them. And the doctors were desperate and kept just talking and consulting, and they were asking people to pray. And a few days later, actually each of those women had health was restored. They went home, they were restored to their families. Was that miraculous? One of the things is, of course, they're often too close to really see what it is that God might be doing. But it seems to me that Lamb is one of those places that when all can seem hopeless, God really is at work and restores people's lives with healing. Let's just think a little bit about a marketplace. That was the nearest I could get to something about in Jesus' time. I'm not quite sure why it was an off license, but and therefore, of course, it wouldn't be anything like that if you go to a market in Bangladesh. You can't probably really see this. Life is very much in the open in Bangladesh, but marketing is actually a really quite important activity. If you really looked in that, you would be surprised how few women you will see. This really is a man's world, the life out in public. And of course, sickness in that culture is not something that people like to make public, and people with illness would be tend to be kept away. But actually, people's need for healthcare is very evident. They really are hypochondriac, and here is a man in the marketplace with, well, how ill are you? What color do you want? How much do you want to pay? That was the nearest I could get to healthcare in the marketplace out in Bangladesh. But that was just perhaps a little bit of context for us thinking, making the connection. But I asked myself, how would it be if Jesus were to work through the small bazaar that's outside the hospital itself? Could I imagine it? Well, because life is very public in many ways, I can. In the hospital, each day, there will probably be about 200 people coming, or up to 200 people coming for inpatients, and they queue at the gates, and they go into the hospital, and there's just people everywhere. And then you've got in the hospital, through the year, it's now approaching 11,000 inpatients through a year. So there's a lot going on. And for the staff working there, it really is chaotic. If you're a medical assistant doing the initial assessment of someone arriving in hospital for outpatients, they won't be on their own, and he might be asking some questions, but you can be sure that his family or her family and friends will be as well, and dealing with interruptions is a part of life. Or if you're a doctor, you know, you may have done your rounds, then someone gets admitted, you're having an awful problem working out what their problem is, what diagnosis. You have a tiring day, and you get home, and then you're reminded you're on call that night. You know, and so then you have to be available. So this is a place, Lamb, that, you know, I've never had an experience like it. I haven't spent a lot of time in hospitals in this country, but it seemed to me a life sort of in the public and a sort of place that Jesus would be. And can I just say that, you know, in amongst all that busyness is where people earning very little are able to come for treatment, because people like you here in St. Stephen's, along with other people in this country, are giving to LAM. All the money that's raised, and they need about £90,000 a year for the poor fund, comes from people like us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me say one or two things. There's some other things that are going on at LAM. And for those of you who nodded off because you were at the first service, wake up, because these are the slides you didn't see. The poor are the priority. Okay, so let's run through. Here are nurses going through their training. Previously, LAM was delivering healthcare, not doing training actually of nurses, but 3 years ago they started this, and the first group have just completed 3 years of training, learning not only good medicine, but how to do it in a caring way, living out the values that that LAM has as a Christian organization. And one of the good things is that training now, the government of Bangladesh send people to LAM to be trained as midwives. So the values that LAM brings in wanting to share God's love and care is now being passed on to people who then go and work away from LAM. So I think that's exciting. Very much an important area of work is what goes on in clinics, and this would be typical of someone who's been trained as a community midwife, and people don't need to come to the hospital but can at least go and have someone with them at their birth. In Bangladesh still, probably two-thirds of women are having births without someone trained in attendance. They're relying on mother-in-law and auntie and whoever else thought they could lend a hand, as it were. So community clinics as being a low-level, as it were, way of delivering health care is really important. I mentioned earlier about the children supporting disability. This is a lad. To be honest, I don't know the story. I mean, I certainly knew of somebody else. For some reason, children love free train rides. And, you know, I've seen a lad, no legs, because he fell off a train. He didn't actually get run over by the train, but, you know, people get injured very readily, or they may be a congenital disability. They'll be kept at home. They can come to LAM. The parents can be helped to understand the sort of things that they can do to enable children to participate more in life. And there are some practical things. Here's a wheelchair that would enable this child, perhaps for the first time, to be much more easily out in public. And just as an aside, you know, a big thing is in the schools in Bangladesh, disabled children would not have been going. Just a simple thing, building ramps, taking away steps, and that sort of thing is getting children into school. It's the sort of thing that LAM wants to encourage. Now, LAM's aim is to reduce maternal and infant mortality. And of course you can do that in hospital, but that's only happening once someone is pregnant and having a delivery. We're just about to start, I think, what's a really challenging but significant project funded by UKAID over 3 years to work with teenagers out in the community to give them an understanding about their sexual health and to understand what services are available for them. In Bangladesh, the legal age of marriage for girls is 18, and in an area like LAM, which is quite traditional and poor, there are many girls being married in their teens, becoming pregnant, and pregnancy as a teenager can be really quite high risk. So this program is to work in the community. Now, what typifies community work? Well, it is small groups of people meeting regularly to talk about issues, to learn things. Or activities like this. They love drama, they love song, people will learn things in a way thinking they're just being entertained. But the work that Lamb is doing, has done for some time, but this project will be in a new way, is really significant. And I love the community work. And that's why when I read this passage about Jesus in the marketplace, it's places like this that I think, yes, yes, that's where Jesus can be. Why? Because this is what Lamb's mission is. That people in contact with Lamb experience the love of Christ and are offered help to understand what they experienced. They are wanting to be Jesus' followers in the marketplace. Encounters. And yes, it's very easy. If you're concentrating on medical work, I'm not a doctor. Some of you will know this much better than me. You've got to deal with the medical problem. And perhaps, you know, compassion, it's sometimes just too much going on to have a lot of time for compassion. But that's what Lamb wants to bring to what they're doing, so that God's healing touch can be with sick people. So as we pray, that's something that we need to remember. So these things to pray are about the diagnosis, but also doing things with care. And for God to do so much more than is, you know, in the medical textbooks, and for lives to be touched. Now, in the marketplace, I was saying, for me, you know, Lamb is quite like this passage, because people are out in the public, and if you were in Bangladesh yesterday and today, you would see that big way as they celebrate Eid, and they just do get out and about. But for people who are sick, the issue of shame is really important, and people are often hidden. And so it's how to make available to people the services that really they should be entitled to, that the government should be providing. That's what Lamb's clinics do. And why do people come? Well, Lamb has a reputation, and that means that people do know that they can go and get help. There would not be many people who just turn up on their own, of course. They would be taken, just as in the passage. You know, when you're sick, you need someone to help you. You rely on your friends, and that's what's happened. And we know that Jesus, his heart was so moved with compassion to these people, he was available to them all. And at Lamb, no one is turned away. And we always say that, you know, you get treated first, and then you discuss the bill. And if you would go anywhere else for some healthcare in Bangladesh, show us your taka, and then we'll start doing something for you. So that really, you know, that openness is really important. But how at Lamb can people touch Jesus' cloak? Does that happen? Can they be healed? I've only once or twice seen a doctor with somebody on the ground, literally clasping their ankles, you know, pleading for help. You know, that's the sort of thing that goes on in that culture. You know when people are desperate. It's not something that we would be used to seeing. But actually, many times, don't we get most reassurance, not just by words, but by the reassuring touch? And I think for us, perhaps at times, we've lost that sense of how important that is. And of course, the other Bible story that I think is really lovely is the story of the woman who'd had the hemorrhage and came and touched Jesus' cloak. Quite a lot of women around the world, it happens, but we don't tend to hear about it in this country because it's dealt with. But if they have problems in pregnancy, they have a fistula condition, they become incontinent, the friends don't want to know them, they probably get divorced, life is really hard. And this is something that Lamb is doing, that they provide operations for people with that condition. And that seems to me a good example of, as this woman who came to Jesus desperate for help. So people come to Lamb in that way to be helped. To be honest, I don't know what else people's expectation is about, you know, this sort of real sort of physical experience of God's healing touch. I know that in folk Islam, people will go to the tombs of Muslim saints and ask, you know, and pray there. But actually, it probably doesn't really matter what our cultural background is. So often that the touch says so much more than words. So who is it at Lamb that can be Jesus' voice and hands? Well, it certainly is the doctors, but there's also a team of chaplains who are around the hospital and sometimes out at community clinics meeting people. Because, of course, actually, expatriate doctors aren't really any use at talking, or not very much use at talking to people in their mother tongue. So it's great that there are a large number of Christians, not the majority, but a large number of Christians working at LAM who can talk about Jesus. Because you can work on the basis in LAM, in Bangladesh, unlike this country, that people believe. Like I've often heard people say, but don't forget, you know, this country is a believing place. They may be majority Muslim, but they are expecting, they have some expectation about God. It may not be in quite the same way of relationship we have, but it's a better starting place than for people who just don't want to know. And so people are ready to be prayed for and happy to be prayed for in Jesus' name. And that's one of the ways that in which LAM is helping people to understand the experience that they have. So that's just a bit about LAM, and if you want to know anything that's non-technical medically, do come and speak to me afterwards. I'd like you to take away that LAM is really working to help people understand that they, in the course of their medical treatment and being made better, have an experience of the love of Christ. But as I was reading this passage and I was thinking, okay, so that's about LAM, and what about me? And so just to conclude, how do we reflect on this passage, which shows us how God's kingdom was coming, was made apparent in the life of Jesus? I don't know if any of you have been to your hospital locally, perhaps to visit somebody, or hopefully not too many people need to go for operations, or maybe you've been to A&E, which I always think is a bit of a nightmare, just as outpatients, this isn't LAM, really. Could I imagine Jesus in that sort of context? That would be the public space, equivalent to what we read about in the story. If I were sat in A&E and Jesus walked in, would I recognize him? Would I even turn to him? I don't know. But we do need to think about this, because we do experience illness. There are probably people here in your congregation that you're praying for at this time. Or some of you yourselves might be struggling at the moment with some illness. And where will Jesus be for you? Because it is a combination of what we can get through the NHS for treatment, but also the other things that Jesus will do. You might recognize that. I have never been to Ealing Hospital, but I tried to think about how Jesus would be there. And I will apologize for the heading here. There is no other place in the country I could use such a gruesome combination of words. I come from Southampton. No chance. But is what's going on now in our own community these days in some way mirroring what we read about in this passage? Or was it just a piece of history that we don't really connect with? At LAM, it's very clear people come to the hospital with expectations, many of them. And the exciting thing is that many people's expectation is exceeded because they are treated with respect and dignity and compassion, and can receive spiritual encouragement as well. Can that happen here? I don't know. I want to think about that, because if it can happen in a place like LAM, if it happens in places of need, isn't any place of need where God will be at work? So the needs are no less here than they are in LAM than they were 2,000 years ago when Jesus was out in the public space. So this passage is making me think, how much will I look for God's kingdom when dealing for ourselves or for other people with illness? It's making me think differently, encourages me to pray more imaginatively. And there may be people here who have yet to, well, I would say enjoy the opportunity to ask someone to pray. I know you have it available in your church. But as Jesus' followers, will we be in the marketplace serving him and looking for him? The last verse that we read says this: they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Let's pray.
Father God, thank you that Lamb is a place where people are serving through good medicine, but especially with care and compassion. May your Spirit bring healing and wholeness there, and will lives be touched by the love of Christ. And for ourselves, we thank you for good care through the NHS. But help us too to look for you to bring us healing and wholeness in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.